This is the Federated Farmers Podcast, where Kiwi farmers stay up to date with the latest news and views shaping the future of farming in New Zealand. Tune in every fortnight as we take a deep dive into the big issues. I'm your host, Ben Chapman-Smith. Let's get into it. Kiwi farmers' confidence slumped to historic lows in 2023 with poor commodity prices and rising inflation eroding their profits. There was also widespread concern about regulatory change, the pressure that was building, and the effect this was having behind the farm gate. It's safe to say that things were looking dire. But Federated Farmers' latest farm confidence survey, completed in January this year, shows there's been somewhat of a rebound. Today we'll be looking at why farmers are feeling a little bit more confident and what knocked their confidence in the first place. We'll also ask, is this a genuine bounce back or just a dead cat bounce? My guests are Auckland beef farmer and 2022 Young Farmer of the Year Tim Dangen and Federated Farmers National President Wayne Langford. Tim and Wayne, thank you very much for joining us. Wayne, let's start with you. Can you talk us through the key points of the survey results? What are farmers feeling more confident about, and more importantly, why?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me here, Ben, and good to see you, Tim. You know, really, really good that we can get these survey results out and to see an upward trend. Very marginal, I know, and coming from a low base, but at least it went up and not down. So farmers, obviously, some of the data we're seeing coming out of it, still struggling with the high inflation, the low commodity prices, and obviously all up on farm profitability, which is no surprise. You know, we knew a lot of that going into it. What it is showing is a sense of optimism going forward over the next 12 months, which is good. It's way easier for farmers to work and to go out and do what they do every day when farmers are feeling a bit optimistic about the future. So that's good. But definitely a number of drivers around that lower farmer confidence, you know, being the inflation that we've seen in the past and the commodity prices as well really battling away. So on top of that, of course, we had an election in between there as well. Government's changing, but going on there, and that always feeds into the farmer confidence survey as well.
Thanks, Wayne. Hey, now look, this was the 30th time Federated Farmers has done the survey. If we step back and look at that sort of wider context, where do these survey results sit compared to the last 30 years, you know?
Yeah, well, I said, like, I guess the positive is that unlike last time, this is not the last result ever, but it is only slightly above that last result ever. So we're coming from a low base, I know, but at least maybe we're back on an upward trend here. So that's positive from that point of view, but it needs to be taken into account when looking at the results. Yeah, I think also to reflect on the last survey that was done as well, that was, I think, 3 or 4 weeks before Fonterra made their significant announcement, dropping the payout down to, you know, a potential 675. And then on top of that also, just as the lamb market was starting to crash as well, red meat was on its way down as well. So between then and now and the journey that farmers have been through in that time, it's been an interesting space. So to get to where we are with this result, I'm pretty happy.
Do you think this is the start of a genuine, steady increase in confidence, Wayne, or is it a dead cat bounce?
Well, I'd like to see it is, and I'd like to think that Federated Farmers can help with that, really. We're working with a new government. We're doing, we're on a different path than what we were on before. We know that the likes of interest rates and commodity prices are probably going to be around for a while, that, you know, some of the struggles there. So farmers are starting to analyse what they're doing in their businesses and kind of getting used to that, but also, you know, setting up a direction out to the future so that they kind of know where they're heading and what's going on.
Thanks, Wayne. Tim, great to bring you into the podcast. Now, this is your first time on the Federated Farmers podcast, and I'm sure listeners would love to know a bit about you. Whereabouts are you farming now, Tim, and what does your operation look like, and what are you up to off the farm?
Yeah, g'day, Ben. Good to be here, and hiya, Wayne. It's, we're in a neat spot in Mirawai, northwest of Auckland there, so we're farming about 300 hectares of all beef. The family farm, which we've had since 1980, is a calf-rearing unit, so we rear about 1,000 beef cross calves there. We then try and sort of finish about 200 of those and then trade about 300 to 400 yearlings, and the rest go as weaners. It's a neat spot. We really enjoy it and we feel fortunate to still be farming here. And then off farm, I sort of try and do a little bit of ambassador work. So I contract to MPI as a food and fibre sector ambassador, where the crux of that role is heading into Auckland secondary schools to try and spread the good word about the primary sector and all the opportunities that are available to our young people today.
And some of those secondary schools are pretty close to where you live, actually, eh, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife, Jenny, and I, we live on the outskirts of Auckland in condensed living, believe it or not. So I'm a city farmer, but we enjoy the balance. It's sort of a way for us to get a foothold in the property market, I suppose. And the family farm's still very much mum and dad's home. So we know that we'll get up there at some stage. But for the meantime, we enjoy sort of having our own place. And it's quite nice at the end of the day to be able to sort of get away and clear my head and think about other things.
Hey, now, Tim, this podcast is coming out on March 11th, and you'll actually be down in Queenstown for the final event in the Xander McDonald Award, eh?
Yeah, we will be down there then, Ben. Yeah, which I'm really looking forward to. It looks like a neat week with some awesome speakers, and who knows, even the mighty YOLO might show up. But, yeah, looking forward to a good week down there.
It should be good. I am heading down, Ben. I'm on the speaker list by the looks of it. I was there when Tim won his Young Farmer of the Year competition, and hopefully maybe there when he wins his Xander McDonald Award as well. So very cool.
Hey, now, Tim, you're a very well-connected farmer in New Zealand. These farmer confidence survey results, how do they marry up with what you're hearing on the ground from other farmers?
Yeah, I think Wayne sort of hit it on the head, really, Ben. It's, you know, we couldn't go much lower. So I'd like to think that there was always going to be an improvement somewhere. And I think farmers in general have started to adjust to the change in the climate that's out there. So we're sort of slowly becoming more used to it, I think. And a lot of internal analysis has gone on. So, yeah, I'd like to think that with the change in government, that sort of helps with some of the regulation stuff. And, yeah, I'd like to think that farmers are generally sort of starting to feel a bit more optimistic about the long-term future and that, yeah, we're sort of know that things sort of can't get too much worse. So if we can sort of hold it all together and our businesses can continue to go forward in an environment like this, then I think it gives people confidence.
Yeah, and that's quite an interesting space to be in too, eh, Tim? Because I wouldn't say it's fun, because it's not when there's not much money in the bank, but it is really interesting farming when you're really challenging yourself to, you know, to be more efficient, to cut the cost, to, I guess, you know, really live within your means and to get through. I often say, you know, I'm just, my wife and I, we just hug each other a bit closer and we say, let's get through this tight patch because it will come out the other side, right? We know that. It's not nice, but it's a really interesting time to be going through. I consider myself a young farmer too. So as a young farmer, yeah.
Absolutely, mate. And I think that's sort of what I'm saying is that farmers are sort of up for the challenge, aren't they? So everyone's sort of walking towards it, and it's easier to get complacent in good times, and we possibly have had some of those good times if you look across the last sort of 7 or 8 years. So, yeah, we're in a real knuckle-down phase at the moment. It's testing, but it's also satisfying if you can sort of manage your way through it.
Tim, how are you feeling personally when you look at the next 12 to 24 months? What's giving you optimism, and then, you know, what's troubling you?
I think there's always lots to be optimistic about. There's just so much opportunity out there, absolutely. So it's just about us weathering the storm, really. So in our personal farming situation, you know, we've pulled everything apart and pulled it apart again, and we'll continue to do so over the next 12 months. It's just about making those adjustments. And, you know, once we get through this period, then ultimately what we'll come out with will be a more efficient business. And so that sort of quite excites me that, you know, we will get back to some sort of state of normality and we'll start to see commodity prices rise and the interest rates sort of peel back to a more manageable level. And when that does happen, then there's huge opportunity for farmers out there, I think, to be able to capitalize on a more efficient system that they've really stress tested over a period like this. I guess in terms of concern, it's just about how long this cycle lasts for. And I think most farmers are generally sort of thinking that along those lines is, yeah, we're in this sort of high pressure situation now. How long are we going to be in this zone for? And even 6 months ago, we would have thought our interest rates might be coming back by 1% by the end of 2024, whereas now that sort of seems like it's out the window. And if we're lucky, we'll sort of be status quo by the end of the year, I think. So it's, yeah, that's sort of my area of concern is around how long we're going to be in this sort of environment.
Wayne, the survey asked farmers to identify their biggest concerns right now. What came out on top? You know, is it much the same as what Tim's identified?
Yeah, I think so. Interest rates came out on top. It's no wonder, right? They're having a major effect. We had commodity prices, regulation and compliance costs, and climate change policy is the fourth one there. But yeah, interest rates were definitely on top. It's actually probably a good time for me to ask Tim this question as well. I think as Fed's president, I've picked up a lot of, as I've been out and about, there seems to be an increasing number of young farmers going into sheep and beef at the moment or over the last wee period. This is probably one of their first few challenging years that they're going through. Is that a fair reflection, do you reckon? Or?
Yeah, I think so, Wayne. Yeah, it's definitely my first really challenging period that I've gone through. Particularly, I think, difficult for young farmers that have got a mortgage or capital in the game there, that this is a real testing period for us. And Yes, and I'm at risk of repeating myself, but here it's just about getting through the storm, isn't it? But I suppose a different element for young farmers that have sort of just bought into land ownership or stock ownership is that they haven't really had time to build up their equity buffer that some more established farmers have had. So it's, yeah, it sort of falls back to the operational performance more rather than being able to cash flow through debt, really, which is an interesting dynamic and a big challenge.
Yeah, definitely, particularly when interest rates, you know, gone from, you know, maybe 4.5% up to well over 9% somewhere there. Yeah, an extremely challenging time. And I've heard a lot of farmers, you know, that are getting off farm work and whatnot just to meet those capital requirements. So, yeah, so hopefully it rights the ship sooner rather than later. But, yes, so any easing of those interest rates would be a real, real help right now.
Wayne, the top concerns that came through in the survey, are they the same as what we heard a year ago?
Yeah, so 3 out of 4 of them were. The one that did drop off was on-farm inflation, farm expenditure, effectively, you know, the goods on farm. I think what's settled there a little bit is obviously some of the fert prices and whatnot have come back, but also the inflation has slowed. I think farmers were in that situation of the prices were roaring up. Are they ever going to stop type thing? Well, I think we've started to see that ease, which is good. And we can now look and analyze it and look at them through a lens that we can, you know, see a bit of direction of travel. So that's been really good. They've obviously been switched out with the commodity prices. Like I mentioned, the dairy prices dropped away. The red meats are really battling at the moment. That's been the main switch over the last 12 months.
Tim, what about for you personally? Any changes in the concerns you had 12 months ago to now? And I'm thinking about what happened 12 months ago, actually, for you guys out on the farm was probably a big turning point.
Yeah, it's interesting when you throw the cyclone dynamic in there, I think. You know, as farmers, you always have a list of sort of priorities that you're of what you're trying to achieve on farm. Then you have something like a cyclone come through and it sort of, everything goes out the window for a year or two, doesn't it? So I suppose, yeah, I'd say getting back to status quo is shifted sort of to the top for us. If I really sort of think, you know, deeply and possibly too deeply about it, it all sort of cycles back to that on-farm profitability. And that's always just sort of set at the top for me because that feeds down into everything else, and that's what allows us to drive productivity and be aspirational and now environmental management and things like that. So it's all fairly static for me, to be honest, Ben, and I'd say it probably will be for the next year or two as well. We'll probably see that regulatory pressure slip back a little bit on farmers that with the change of government would just like to sort of cement some of the gains that we have made, and the rate of change there will slow down, I think, which will make it of less concern for farmers.
Wayne, what about for you personally? How confident are you feeling about the next 12 months?
You know, I'm an internal optimist, so I'm always pretty positive. I wouldn't say our situation's going to change too much. It's more a matter of getting through, and the optimistic side says hopefully we can, and hopefully the majority of farmers can too, right? I think I've been out in the traps a bit over the last couple of weeks talking to different farmers, and there's different degrees there. You know, I was up in Gisborne and for the anniversary of the cyclone, and talking to farmers there, they were saying, hey, we're dealing with enough on farm here. You know, we'll look after farm. Can the local and central government please just sort out the roads, the infrastructure and whatnot to make our life a bit easier, you know, so we're not having to drive an extra hour to get our kids to school, and we can actually get the mail on time, and we can get our stock away when we need to, we can get the fert truck and that sort of thing. So that's what they'd like. And then I headed down to Southland, to the South Island field days, and obviously completely different situation. They hadn't been hit by the cyclone. They were battling, you know, big lamb country down there, right? Lamb prices have dropped away. But what was interesting at the field days was talking to a number of the stallholders, and they said, well, while farmers weren't spending a lot of money, the conversations they were having were a heck of a lot better than what they've been in the past, because farmers that were coming to talk to them were genuinely interested in how their product or their service could help improve what they were doing on farm. So there's this feeling, and it's what Tim touched on before around, hey, you know, this is the time to really look at your system, what you can do, how you can improve it. And what's cool is that the service industry and products out there, they aren't trying to hock stuff off at you anymore because they realize how tight it is. They're trying to work with your farming business to help you out.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Wayne. The survey also asked farmers about what they consider to be their highest priorities for the government. What came through?
Well, the Prime Minister, I shouldn't call him that, will be happy because it's all about the Prime Minister saying, you know, getting the economy right, which is he's mentioned I don't know how many times, sorting out regulation and lowering compliance costs. How can we do that? That's been a big focus of mine. You know, to be fair, the team at Feds, I've put some challenges to our policy staff as well around how do you take my cash flow budget and say, how can I get some cost out of there for not only Wayne, but also all the farmers in New Zealand, right? I'll give you a real practical example. At the moment, we're working on farm plans, right? The design kind of at the moment is to have an accredited farm plan that's audited almost annually or every few years and, you know, is held within government and all this sort of stuff. That's just a whole bunch of bureaucracy and cost on farmers. How can we strip that out, right? If we can avoid doing that, that's a $10,000 to $15,000 savings for the average farm. And that's just one thing. We can add more to that. There's a lot of things we can do in a lot of spaces. That's how we'll improve the efficiency on farm. We'll get leaner farm systems and more productive farm systems, but also more profitable farm systems. And that'll help our government out, that'll help the Prime Minister, and that'll help our grassroots farmers, because that's what we're here to help.
What are some of the other big priorities for you, Wayne, that we're trying to push through with government?
Good question. We ran our 12 key points to restoring farmer confidence during the election. I think I read that thing until I was blue in the face and preached that everywhere. Now it's just making sure it happens right. It's all about cutting that red tape, making compliance on farm easier, cutting costs out of farms and getting the primary sector kind of ramped up and going again, fixing unworkable freshwater rules, and reviewing the methane targets so that farmers have got a direction of travel. It's another actually really good example, kind of the methane targets, right? If the methane targets are wrong and farmers are extremely worried about it, which they are because we saw that in the results, it's really hard for them to plan into the future when they've got a potential cost or tax on their business, which they've got to add into their future budgets. If that's not there, changes the way that farmers are looking at things and the way that they're operating, right? It's something that farmers don't care about every day, but it is something that farmers don't care about every day. And it's a real weird one to get around in your head, but that's the sort of thing that we're pushing on. Obviously, there's going to be probably some big discussions around where we're going with GE and GMO, making sure that discussion goes right for our farmers this year. Water storage, the government's already indicated some movement there and getting that along. And from Tim's space, probably allowing, you know, young farmers to use their KiwiSaver to invest in farms. We're going to have a lot of turnover of farms probably during the term of this government. How do we ensure that those farms end up in the hands of our young Kiwi farmers? Because they'll be what drives the sector forward. So that'll be key.
Yeah, Tim, out of those priorities that Federated Farmers put forward, what are the ones that stand out most strongly to you?
Yeah, I've probably got three key ones there for us, Ben, in no particular order, really. We'd love to see some clarity around the methane targets and just that direction of travel, basically, of what are we in for and how are we going to go about sort of working this into our system to be able to make sure that we can stay profitable. And if there's a tax there somewhere, then what are the tools that are going to be allowed to apply on farm to be able to meet the targets? And sort of in that field, I suppose, around the water storage up at us up here in, you know, Auckland and Northland, we've sort of copped a fair bit of in terms of climatic events over the last sort of 2 years. So we'd love to see that water storage stuff get pushed through quickly, just to basically build on that climate resilience, isn't it? And that we can, you know, there's so much potential still left in Northland, I think, and water storage is a huge part of it. And our rainfall at home here is actually higher than what it was when I was dairy farming in Riverton in Southland. It's just poorly distributed, you know? So if we could capture some of that water over our winter period and use it over summer, it would be huge for us. And the final one's basically around that KiwiSaver and allowing young farmers to be able to access it there. I think if the control measures were in place that it was all done responsibly, then I think there's huge opportunity for young farmers to be able to access capital there, because that's the hardest part about being a young farmer, I think, is having that access to capital. So yeah, if there's, you know, there's money there that's been earned by the individual, then why wouldn't they be able to use it or invest it where they see fit, I think.
Excellent stuff, guys. Any final thoughts?
I think for me, probably it is really tough out there. You know, even though we talk about a slight lift, it is extremely tough. You know, to farmers out there, you know, reach out and stuff if you need help. There's plenty of guys wanting to offer their services at the moment around, you know, kind of analysing your farm business. Don't be shy on doing it. A lot of farmers are doing it at the moment, and it's a good time to get amongst it and be part of it. That's one for me. The second one would be obviously recognising Tim's young farmers' history. Obviously, the young farmers are going through their finals and whatnot at the moment, which is exciting. Everyone's getting selected for the big finale in July. Congratulations to those that have already been selected, and you know, encourage all the farmers out there to get in behind it, because I don't know if you feel the same, Tim, but it's starting to grow back into what it was in the days gone by, you know, where there's a bit more attention around it, and the finals really starting to ramp up into something that it used to be, which is really cool. It's well-deserved, and that's what those young farmers.
Yeah, I think so, Wayne. It sort of feels like it's built a fair bit of momentum in the last sort of 5 to 10 years. And yeah, certainly the organisation, like the Young Farmers Organisation, is trying to sort of keep in behind the momentum that even Emma's put in behind it by having our first female winner, you know. So long may that continue. And yeah, I guess just from my perspective, yeah, it is tough times out there for farmers. And just want to reiterate what Wayne said. Basically, it's about sort of sticking together and communicating. And I don't think anyone out there's got it easy at the moment. not just within the rural sector as well, but within our urban communities too. So I think it's about showing compassion towards each other, and we will weather the storm, and ultimately what will come out of it will be a polished diamond from the rough, isn't it? So yeah, I think we can continue walking towards the challenges, and the tools are at our disposal, so we just have to grind it out, and we will all get there.
Thank you, guys. Really great conversation, and thanks for your thoughts. And Tim, best of luck with the Xander McDonald Award.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Ben.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you've enjoyed it and you'd like to hear more, subscribe to the Federated Farmers Podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you get notified when our new episodes drop. And if you have any feedback or podcast suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. Please drop us a line, podcast@fedfarm.org.nz. That's podcast@fedfarm.org.nz. Catch you next time.